Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 31 this morning. One verse, but a lot of truth that we can learn from this account, as mentioned here in Hebrews and in the corresponding passage in the book of Joshua that we will look at as well. But Hebrews chapter 11, and as we have worked our way through Hebrews 11 over the last several months, one thing that has stood out to me, and I hope has stood out to you as we have looked through this as well, is that it doesn't take any particular type of person to live by faith. In other words, it doesn't have to be someone special. It's not some super Christian. It's not some whatever. It's just ordinary people like you and me. As a matter of fact, as we've looked at some through here, we've seen some pretty glaring faults and failures of some of them, but yet they still chose to live by faith. It doesn't take a certain economic status or wealth or societal status, anything like that. Look at some of the first ones that we've looked at. Abel was just a simple shepherd, but he lived by faith and pleased God. Sarah, that we looked at a few weeks ago, a simple housewife and mom, and yet she walked by faith, chose to live by faith. We've seen a slave family, Moses' parents. They walked by faith in the midst of very difficult situations and, you know, again, as slaves, the nobodies of the nation of Egypt. Moses himself, he was a former prince in Egypt, had all the wealth and all the position and privilege, and yet he chose to walk by faith as well. And so we see that what is important is choosing to walk by faith. It's not dependent on circumstances. It's not dependent on your role in life or your position, but it's a matter of choice, how you choose to live. And as we've seen that, we've seen such a wide variety of backgrounds and a wide variety of people so far in Hebrews chapter 11. And yet I find it interesting that even against that background of different individuals and different backgrounds, we come to verse 31 where here this individual is, from a human perspective, could be a little bit surprising that she is included in this great chapter of faith, a woman by the name of Rahab. Notice verse 31, it says, "By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace." Not only is Rahab unique in this chapter because she's only the second woman by name mentioned, Sarah being the other one, but she is unique because of her background and because of who she is. Almost every other name that we have looked at so far, we would, to some degree, consider them a great Old Testament saint. Even Sarah, with her questioning God, yet she was the wife of Abraham, we would still say, yes, she was a great Old Testament saint. Abel, yes. Enoch, yes. Noah, absolutely. Moses, of course. No question there. They were ones who loved God and followed him, but yet Rahab was nothing like that. At least in the beginning. She was a Gentile. She was a Canaanite, a resident of the city of Jericho. She was a pagan. She was a prostitute. All of these things in her background are stacked against her, so to speak, from a human perspective, yet she chose to walk by faith and to exercise faith in a very practical and real way that many of us overlook many times in our own life. And that is, she acted on truth that she knew and lived by faith based on what she knew. There was a lot she didn't know, as we'll look at as we unpack this morning. She acted on truth that she knew and lived out her faith in a very practical and real way. And as we've said throughout this chapter, faith is always demonstrated by obedience to God's word. And Rahab did just that. And so here's the truth that I want us to consider as we look at the life of Rahab and how she demonstrated faith. And the truth is this: in order to live by faith, you must act on the truth that you already know. We could say it this way: you must live out or live in light of the truth that you know. And so as we look at the life of Rahab, I believe we'll see this borne out for us and see how it applies to us here today. Verse 31, again, reading it again, it says, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace." Let's ask God to guide us as we look to his word, and then we'll jump right into the message today. Father, I do pray that you would clear our hearts and minds now as we come to this time of preaching. I pray, Lord, that you would guide my words and my thoughts. Father, I ask that you would help me to communicate the truth that you have shown me from this passage, the principle that I believe is contained in this verse. Lord, that we too would seek to live out the truth that we know and thus demonstrate faith in our walk with you. We'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory for it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This is, again, another one of those instances where we've got to go back to the Old Testament and look at the events surrounding it. So hold your place here in Hebrews and turn with me to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. And this is where we will spend the bulk of our time this morning as we unpack the principles of how Rahab demonstrated faith. But Joshua chapter 2, notice, I'll read Hebrews 11:31 again. It says, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not." Okay, what is that referring to? Here in Joshua chapter 2, we pick up the story, or the account here. And notice what happened. Just to set the stage a little bit, we looked at last week through the wall, that the walls of Jericho came down. That was mentioned in Hebrews 11. So in Joshua chapter 2, the nation of Israel has crossed the Jordan River, not crossed the Jordan River yet. That comes in chapter 3. But they are right on the border of the promised land, and Joshua sends in two spies to spy out Jericho. Now, Jericho was the first city they came to as they crossed. It was kind of like the guardian of the eastern access into the land of Canaan. Massive city, heavily fortified, very well known. It was a major obstacle in their path. So Joshua sends two spies there. Notice, pick up in verse 1 of chapter 2 here in the book of Joshua. The Bible says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country.' And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, 'Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country.' And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, 'There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not, or I know not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them.' But," verse 6 says, "but she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords, and as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof." Verse 9, notice Rahab's declarations here in the next few verses. "And she said unto the men, 'I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath.'" Verse 12, "Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the man answered her, Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, Get ye into the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourself there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward ye may go your way. And the men said unto her, We will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father, and thy mother, and thy brethren, and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be, that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be upon our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, According unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Verse 22 through 24 tells us that the spies went back and brought the report to Joshua, and they make preparations to enter the land of Canaan and take the city of Jericho. But we're focusing on here Rahab's faith and how she demonstrated faith. I want you to notice two main points is all we have today, just 2 points about Rahab's faith. I want you to notice, first of all, Rahab's faith was a saving faith. Rahab's faith was a saving faith. The author of the book of Hebrews points this out when he says, By faith she perished not with them that believed not. So her faith kept her from perishing with the rest of the city of Jericho. Now, we've pointed out through the book of through our study in Hebrews 11 that Hebrews 11 is focusing on living by faith after salvation. It's not focusing on saving faith. In other words, it's not telling us you have to do these things in order to be saved. It's saying this is how faith shows up in your life after salvation. But in a very real way, Rahab's faith began with a saving faith, and then it became a working faith that was demonstrated. And I want us to notice her saving faith here, first of all. She perished not with them that believed not. This is definitely referring to her salvation from the destruction of Jericho. She was physically saved. She did not die when the nation of Israel took over the city of Jericho. But before that, Joshua chapter 2 points out, she had placed her faith in the God of Israel, Jehovah God. She uses the word Jehovah, God's name Jehovah, multiple times as she references him, which is significant considering she was a Canaanite who worshiped multiple idols, multiple gods. That indicates that she had rejected those and recognized that there was only one true God, and that was Jehovah, the God of Israel. Notice, first of all, about her saving faith, that Rahab's faith was based on facts and not feelings. It's again something that we pointed out in the very beginning of our study of Hebrews 11, that faith always has a foundation. It's not just some abstract feeling or idea thinking, oh yes, that's something out there, but it has a foundation, and its foundation is the Word of God. Notice Rahab's the facts that she based her faith on, or that her faith was based on. Notice in verse 10 of Joshua chapter 2, she realized that it was only God who could do the miracles that she had heard about. What does she say in verse 10? She says, We heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. She said, We also heard what you did to the two kings of the Amorites, Sihon and Og, two powerful kings just on the other side of Jordan that they had to conquer before they came in to the promised land. Miracles of God that only God could do, and she recognized only God could do those types of miracles. God parted the sea for you. God did this. In essence, she recognized who God was. Let me say, our faith today must begin with that as well. Our faith must begin with a proper realization of who God is. And say it a different way, it has to begin with the right concept of God. If we're not careful, many times our decisions to not walk by faith stem from the fact that we have a distorted picture about who God is. You know, it's maybe we view God as an angry taskmaster who's just sitting up there waiting for us to mess up so that he strikes us. Or we view him as a, you know, a benevolent grandpa in the sky who just lets anything go and, oh, that's fine, I'll just ask forgiveness later, no big deal. Whatever it is, I mean, those are two extremes. But even as Christians, we can have a distorted view of who God is, especially if we're not careful in times of suffering and hardship. We get a distorted view thinking, well, if God was good, then he would not do such and such. And if we're not careful, we allow that to color how we view God, and that begins to affect how we choose to walk, not by faith, but by who we think God should be. The Bible, the Word of God, portrays God as who he is. It portrays God as he is. Holy, he's king over all, he's merciful, he's gracious, he's just. We can go on and on describing who God is, but we have to understand the only way we can have a proper view of who God is from his word that he has given us. Without it, we will not have the right view of God. And our walk of faith must begin with the right view of who God is. Rahab did that. She understood. My idols that I worship couldn't do this. The gods that I serve, they don't do things like this. Your God must be God. And we see that later on in verse 11 as she makes that conclusion. But she based her faith on the fact of who God was, that only God could do this. But notice also her faith was based on the fact that there was a coming judgment. Notice what she said in verse 9. She says, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. Verse 12, it said, you utterly destroyed the two kings of the Amorites, Sihon and Og. Verse 12 and 13, notice she says, now therefore I pray you, swear unto me that you'll show kindness to me and my father's house. Save us alive, she says in verse 13. So she knew that there was a judgment coming. She knew that this was her end because God had given them the land. She knew that apart from God's grace and mercy, she had no hope of surviving. God's judgment was coming on the land of Canaan. The Canaanites knew that. Word traveled. Yes, they didn't have Facebook and Instagram and all these things, but word traveled, and they realized God is leading the nation of Israel. They're coming to the land. We're doomed. We see that evidence later on in the book of Joshua as some of the local nations tried to make an alliance with them to avoid being destroyed utterly. But Rahab recognized that there was a coming judgment and that she deserved that judgment. Notice in verse 9 and 10, that because of this coming judgment, all of Jericho was afraid. She says in verse 9, that your terror is fallen upon us. We all faint. All the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Verse 11, she says, our hearts did melt. There was no more courage in any of us. The coming judgment created fear in her life and in all those in Jericho. But what's interesting is that she's the only one that did anything with it. She's the only one who made a choice to do something about that fear. You see, fear is a proper response to coming judgment. There's nothing wrong. Yes, fear can be overdone. Fear can be a wrong emotion that controls us in a wrong way. But fear is a God-created and a God-given emotion. And God uses our conscience. He uses the work of the Holy Spirit. And he uses the preaching of his word to bring conviction that oftentimes creates fear of a coming judgment or punishment. How many of you, if you think back to the time when you trusted Christ as your Savior, how many of you were afraid of the coming judgment and punishment for your sins that you knew you deserved? that fear is real, and that fear is appropriate. It's appropriate because you realize that you are accountable to someone greater than yourself. And God uses conscience. He uses the Holy Spirit to bring us to that place where we are afraid. Amen. And through that fear, we have a choice then to make. And that's what we see here with Rahab. Not only was her faith based on facts and not feelings, but her faith made a choice. That she chose to trust in God and in God alone. Notice the last part of verse 11. She says, "For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." Rahab heard about what God had did with the nation of Israel in leading them out. Rahab had heard that God had given them the land. She understood there was a judgment coming for them. And her faith made a choice. She said, "I'm going to trust in the God of Israel. Jehovah God, He is God above and in earth beneath." I mentioned this before, but I want to make this point again. Rahab was not the only one in Jericho who understood this. All the city knew it. That's why it says they all trembled. They all fainted. Their hearts melted. That's why the king sent to try to see these spies and get these spies, because he knew they're coming after us. They're spying us out. They're coming to destroy us. Rahab was not the only one in Jericho who had access to this information about God and about the nation of Israel. But she was the only one who chose to trust and believe in Him. Hebrews 11, verse 31 again tells us, "She perished not with them that believed not." That word "believed not," or that phrase "believed not," is much the same as what we looked at in the first hour. It is a willful refusing to believe the facts that are there. It's not questions, it's not doubting, it's not, "Well, you know, I'm not sure, let me look into it a little bit more." It is a willful rejection and a refusal to believe. And the author of the book of Hebrews points out that the rest of Jericho believed not. They refused to believe what God had shown them, but Rahab chose to believe. She allowed the truth of God and her fear of judgment to persuade her that God was God alone, and so she cast herself on His mercy. One author put it this way, says, "True saving faith involves the whole person. The mind is instructed, the emotions are stirred, but then the will acts in obedience to God." And that's what we see with Rahab. She knew the facts. Her mind was stirred. She understood God was the only one who could do these miracles. Her emotions were stirred. She was afraid. She knew judgment was coming. But that wasn't enough. The will had to act. There had to be a choice of her will in which she chose to believe God and trust in Him. This meant that she rejected her religion and her false gods. She went from many gods to one God. Again, she says, "The Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." This is, again, an example of repentance, of turning from sin, turning from idolatry to the one true God. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, Paul makes mention of the Thessalonian church who did the same thing. You turned from idols to serve the living and true God. Repentance is a turning from and a turning to by faith. I want to point out this. We've seen this, and we're pointing out the fact that Rahab's faith was a saving faith. This all took place before she ever met the spies, where she knew the facts that she heard about God. She trusted in Him. She had rejected her idols and her false religion. All this took place before she ever encountered the spies. Her faith was real, and it was demonstrated by how she received the spies, as we'll look at here in just a moment. But let me make one point of application before we move on with this. Even though Rahab trusted in God by faith, I want you to see and I want you to understand, she still bore the scars of her sinful past. In Hebrews chapter 11, hold your place here. If you've got it, just look back real quick at 11 verse 31. We're going to come right back to Joshua 2, but I want you to see this and look. Hebrews 11 and verse 31, it says, by faith, what's the next word?
Harlot.
Harlot, Rahab. Mm-hmm. By faith, the harlot, Rahab. Her sinful past stuck with her. The scars from her sinful past. Yes, she was saved by God's grace. Yes, she trusted in the one true God. Yes, her sins were forgiven and she was redeemed. Praise God that there is no sin that he cannot forgive and there is no past that he cannot redeem. But even though sin can be forgiven and we are made right with God and in right fellowship with him, those scars will still remain. Young people, this is why it's so important that you make the choice now. To serve the Lord and live for him and do what's right now so that you don't have to bear those same scars. This is why it's important to keep yourself pure, to resolve to live for the Lord, to do what's right regardless of what others around you do. Because the permanent scars of sin are not worth the temporary pleasures that it could provide. And although Rahab, yes, was redeemed, and she experienced great blessing in her new walk with the Lord from that point on, almost every time you see her mentioned in the Word of God, it's mentioned the harlot Rahab. Not to denigrate her or to put her down, but as a reminder that sin leaves scars. But praise the Lord that a sinful past does not exclude you from blessings in Christ. You can still experience those. You can still live for him. You can still walk by faith and still continue to serve him and live for him. And that brings us to our second point and our last one. Not only was Rahab's faith a saving faith, but it was a working faith. Rahab's faith was a working faith. Hebrews 11, verse 31 says, by faith, Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Her faith was a real faith. It was a saving faith, and it was demonstrated in how she received the spies. Bible points out that she received them with kindness here in Joshua chapter 2. In verse 12, she says, since I have showed you kindness, I'm asking you, show the same kindness back to me and to my father's house. Notice, first of all, we know her faith was a working faith because there was a change in her actions. There was a change in her actions, not just a change in word or belief, but a change in her actions. I believe that the indication of the flax on the roof, where it says that she hid the spies under the stalks of flax on the roof, is an indicator that she had already changed her lifestyle. Proverbs 31, if you remember the description of one of the characteristics of the Proverbs 31 woman, says she works diligently with her hands, with wool and with flax, like she's working in that way. I don't have any concrete proof of it. That is more my opinion than anything, but I believe there is a demonstration here that her lifestyle had changed. But beyond that, her faith was demonstrated, her actions were changed by how she received the spies. Think about it. If she had not already put her faith and trust in Jehovah God, why would she be receptive? Why would she be friendly to foreign invaders? Spies coming in, it would be more, well, I'm going to report you, or I'm going to, you know, they would not be received with kindness. James chapter 2 and verse 25 tells us, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. Again, the book of James, we've preached through that and we've emphasized before, James chapter 2 is talking about justification in the eyes of others, not justification before God. In other words, it's showing this is a demonstration of faith. When others see it in action, it's an indication to others that your faith is real. There's no other way that we can demonstrate our faith to others. We can say all the right things, but that doesn't prove anything. It's proven by our actions, by our deeds. And so it says Rahab was justified by her works, meaning she demonstrated her faith to others when she received the spies and sent them out another way. It was an outward demonstration of the inward change that had already taken place. Our works do not save us, but our works are a result of the salvation that has taken place inside, the change that has taken place inwardly. One author put it this way, said, men cannot see your heart, but they can see your hands. They cannot see your soul, but they can see your steps. Rahab proved her faith by her deeds. Her faith was demonstrated by a change of action. She showed kindness to the spies, but notice also she was concerned for others. What was the first thing she asked the spies for? She asked for kindness for her, but she said, for my father, my mother, my brethren, my sisters. Will you save them as well? There was a concern for others to see them avoid the destruction, the coming judgment. She wanted her family to be saved. She shared, no doubt, shared that news of the coming judgment and of God being the true God with her family, those who she knew. And saving faith will do that in our lives even today. It will awaken a concern for others that they avoid the coming judgment just as we did. We want to share it with others. But she was concerned for others, but then also she followed the spies' directions. Verses 18 through 21, they told her, bind the scarlet cord in the window. You let us down by it, and when we're gone, put the scarlet cord in the window, and that'll be, you know, that's your instructions. You do that, and you don't tell others about our business here. Don't share it with the king. Don't spread it. You do these. And the Bible says she did right away. And notice at the end of verse 21. She sent them away and departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. She didn't wait. She didn't delay, but did it right away. Now, it's important for us to realize and to note, Rahab and her family were saved by their faith in the God of Israel, not by faith in the rope that she bound in the window. The rope that she bound in the window was just an indication, was just a demonstration of her faith that she had placed in God. The fact that she hung a rope in the window was proof that she had faith. Faith in a token or a symbol or an act or an icon can never bring salvation. Just like baptism, church membership, taking communion, giving, you know, being good, giving to others, that cannot save you. But after salvation, those things are a demonstration of the faith that we have, the change that has taken place. Rahab's faith was a working faith. She received the spies with peace, protected them, and sent them out. And I want you to notice in closing here, Rahab's faith was a rewarded faith. It's mentioned here in Joshua 2 and in Hebrews 11 that the immediate rewards were protection from destruction in Jericho. But she was also granted eternal salvation in heaven with God. She's also mentioned as we, why are we preaching about her today? Because she's mentioned in Hebrews 11 as one who demonstrated great faith. And if we were to go to Matthew chapter 1, we would see that she is included in the lineage of King David. She was a great-great-grandmother of King David and in the lineage of Jesus Christ the Messiah. Her faith was rewarded in great ways. She had a very unique blessing to be one of the great, 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 however many great grandmothers of the Lord Jesus Christ. All because of faith. Again, we go back to the fact, yes, sin has scars, but a sinful past does not exclude you from God's blessing now if you follow Him by faith now. A couple of points of application and then we'll be done. Rahab demonstrated great faith that changed her life. She turned from her idols to serve the living and true God. She helped God's people. She was saved from the destruction of Jericho. She became one of the grandmothers in the lineage of Christ. But what I find the most challenging about Rahab's faith, and here's the point of application I want to make to us today. Rahab did not have much knowledge or information to go on. But yet she still acted on what she did know. Think about it. All she knew was God parted the Red Sea for Israel. That God had helped Israel destroy two nations of the Amorites, Sihon and Og, the two great kings there. She knew that it had been said that God was going to give Israel the land of Canaan. But apart from that, that's all that she knew. That's all that Scripture tells us that she knew. But yet, based on that, she came to the conclusion that God was the one true God in heaven and in earth. She had very little to go on. But yet, she responded by faith. And God called it great faith. What would have happened had Rahab waited? Said, well, I hear these things, but I'm not sure about it. Let me try to find out more. Let me wait till I get a more complete picture. You know, who is this God? How does he work? What's he like? You know, how do we know this is his people? If she had done that, what would have happened? Most likely she would have been destroyed with Jericho. Here's the application for us today. You and I have so much more than what Rahab had available to her then. We have the completed Word of God. We have all of God's revelation that He wants us to know. And yet, how many times do we balk and refuse to live by faith because, well, I'm not sure about all that yet. I got questions about this. What does that look like? How do I know that this... And instead of living by faith with what we do know and understand, we allow our questions about what we don't understand to dictate what we do and force us into inaction instead of action on what we do know. Let me make the point this way. So many times what we get tripped up in our lives as believers, where we sin, where we fail to walk by faith, where we fail to live for the Lord, is not because we don't know what to do. It's because we know what to do, but we don't do it. Rahab acted on faith with what she knew. As she obeyed, God revealed more to her. As she was brought in, she was saved from Jericho's destruction. She became a part of the nation of Israel. She adopted God as her God. She worshipped Him completely. Through all of that, she would have then learned more about who God is, what He expects. Her knowledge and understanding would have grown. But it began with her obeying what she did know. And as she did, then God revealed more. Then God increased her understanding more. The same is going to be true in your life today. If you do not already obey what you do fully know and understand, God's not going to give you further understanding. You have to obey what you know now. And as you obey and follow in faith, then God continues to lead. Then He continues to guide and direct. So my question for us today is this. In what area of your life are you refusing to follow God by faith. Remember Jericho, the inhabitants of Jericho, the Bible says they did not believe. They refused to believe what they had heard and what they knew. They did not allow the truth that they heard about God to persuade their minds and change their actions. So how many of us are doing the same in our walk with the Lord? We know what God is saying. We've heard it. We understand it. But we don't allow that to persuade us and change our hearts and our minds and our actions. If Rahab can live by faith with just a little bit of information about God, you and I have no excuse. Because we have God's full and complete revelation to us. In order to walk by faith, you must act on the truth that you know. You must obey what you understand. You must live in light of the truths that you know. Let's bow for prayer.